Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. What's going on in our country? What's going on in the world? We have a U.S. Senator from Middle America, Ron Johnson. Senator Johnson, fill in the American people. What the heck is going on in the world?
Hello, John. Hope you're doing well. Well, what's happening right now is the result of Democrat governance, Democrat policies. I agreed with President Reagan when he said that you achieve peace through strength, but it's way more than military strength. That's the last piece of the puzzle. It really is about national strength. And national strength is all about economic strength, but even more important, it's about a unified nation. You know, Lane said, a house divided cannot stand. And right now, we are a divided house. I hate to be sounding too partisan, but it's the other side that continues to exacerbate the divide. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And as a result, you combine that with the devastating impact of all their policies and open border, massive deficit spending, which sparked 7.5% inflation, which is a 40-year high. Their soft on crime policies that are increasing crime rates. And then, of course, the embarrassing and dangerous surrender in Afghanistan. All these things have weakened America. It's made our adversaries become more aggressive, take advantage of the situation. I mean, that was what was behind Vladimir Putin's decision to finally invade Ukraine. We need to understand what conditions create these types of problems for us. And, of course, the Democrat war on fossil fuel, 40% increase in gasoline, that was the latest report. It's probably higher now as gasoline prices are skyrocketing. I mean, these things didn't just happen. These are the direct result of Democrat policies, Democrat governance. I hope the American people are paying attention.
Now, Senator, it doesn't seem like China has made the decision not to defend Putin and not to criticize the Ukraine. What say you about that?
Well, it just seems like China is pretty well sitting on the sidelines. They're really not criticizing Putin. I think they might be a little upset that he didn't give them as much warning, but he held off invading till after the Olympics, which is what their request is. I mean, think about that, John. How gross and craven that is. Hey, hold off, you know, slaughtering innocent civilians, invading a country that doesn't threaten you at all until after our Winter Olympic Games. China obviously is proving itself to not be a world leader on the positive side of the equation. Let's put it that way. They're a huge problem. They're a strategic threat to this country. They're stealing, you know, massively stealing our technology. It's unbelievable that Biden canceled the China Initiative, which was a Department of Justice investigations into how they steal our intellectual property at university systems. I mean, what's going on with that? Is it literally because Biden is so compromised with his foreign financial entanglements, as Senator Grassley and I tried to point out and tried to warn America about before the last election with our report? It's very puzzling. But no, China, unfortunately, is an adversary. I wish they were no more than a friendly rival, friendly competitor, but they're an adversary, and they're a menacing one at that.
I've said to people that I would hope, Putin was really dumb what he did invading Ukraine, because it tore up his financial system. It tore up many parts of Russia under world criticism. Did you think he was going to invade, or you think he was? I thought he was bluffing.
Well, it's interesting because I was chairman, now ranking member of the European Subcommittee and Center Foreign Relations Committee. I was talking to ambassadors from the region. None of them thought he would invade, because it just makes no sense for him to. It made no sense.
He was making, he was making $1 billion a day on oil.
Yeah. It is such a tragedy of historic proportions that Putin didn't accept the outstretched hand of the West, integrated into our Western economies. He and his country would be in so much better shape. It would be so much better for him. But I guess it's hard to really evaluate or get inside the head of a communist dictator tyrant, huh?
He had the inroads. He was partners with Germany. He was partners with Turkey. He had the inroads to become partners with the European community than the mess he's in right now. The nicest way to say it, deep doo-doo right now.
Let's hope so. Let's hope the Russian people take care of him. That's what it's going to take. But no, I mean, a more successful economy. It could have been a more successful kleptocracy for him. So again, it just makes no sense. Nobody's threatening Russia. Nobody. You know, maybe
and
China,
Switzerland,
but nobody in Europe.
Nobody. Even Switzerland went against them. I've never seen that before in my life. That Switzerland froze any assets Putin had in Switzerland. I mean, the rumors was he had $50 billion in Switzerland. That $50 billion is as good as Saddam Hussein having $50 billion in Switzerland. What good did that do him?
I think that's one of the things that we absolutely have to make. Putin and his band of cronies, the other war criminals around him, we need to make them pay dearly. We need to confiscate their wealth. It's contained overseas, not just his cronies, but their family members as well. This needs to be responded to in a very severe fashion.
Now, I know, and I'm sure you know, that the Russian generals talk to our generals all the time behind the scene. If Putin made a decision to press the wrong button, if you know what I mean, that little red button, would his generals back him up, or would they find a reason to take him down?
Well, I sure hope they would intervene. You know, again, there is no threat to Russia here. None. I mean, that's what's so puzzling about this. Again, nobody in Europe, nobody in NATO ever is threatening Russia. This is just all about his ego. This is all about him wanting to reconstitute to the glory of the old Soviet Union. It seems, you know, he said this is the greatest, the dissolution of the Soviet Union was the greatest tragedy in history. It wasn't. Russia could have been so much stronger. So it drives me nuts when things make no sense whatsoever and people die as a result of this. It's a horrible tragedy.
Let's go back to America. President Biden had his State of the Union speech this week that brought back memories of Nancy Pelosi taking Trump's State of the Union speech and tearing it. My God, was that the beginning of the relationship between the Democratic Party and Donald Trump? I mean, it was horrible. I mean, the Republicans, you guys gave President Biden the respect mostly, didn't you?
Yeah, we always do. We're not like them. We're not. I know some of our supporters sometimes say we got to fight harder, and we should fight harder. But yeah, we're going to fight by the rules, and that makes it difficult because Democrats don't fight by the rules. You know, they're willing to cheat, they're willing to lie, they're willing to distort. They're all just unified in their acquisition of power.
Has anybody figured out in Washington why Biden is not buying more crude oil from Canada and Alaska, except was making Putin rich and making Saudi Arabians are going to be zillionaires again?
No, this is the self-inflicted wound of Democrat policy here. That they have a war on fossil fuel. They literally want to no longer use fossil fuel. They think, again, in their fantasy minds, that we really can power the American economy with the wind and solar power. We can't. We're a fossil fuel-based economy. We're going to be one for many decades. You know, the only alternative, the realistic alternative, would be nuclear power, and they're shutting down those plants as well. So their policy is based on a wish, on a fantasy, and it makes us vulnerable. Take a look what happened in Texas. When you start introducing these unreliable sources of energy, you risk shutting down power. And Texas was actually lucky to be able to recover as quickly as they did. It creates this geopolitical instability. So it's literally just denying reality, which is what I would say most of his State of the Union speech was, really just a denial of reality, dishonest. You know, when it wasn't the wish list of liberal policies that have mortgaged our kids' future, it was just basically lying to the American public, saying he's going to secure the border and he's got a cure for inflation. What, more deficit spending? They're living in a fantasy world. They're in a state of denial, and they're basically dishonest. And they can, by and large, count on the mainstream media not to call them out for it.
Senator, we have a minute left. Anything else you'd like to tell the American people?
Well, certainly, let's all hope and pray that COVID is over. It looks like we've peaked from Omicron, and we're kind of back down to very low levels. But let's not forget the failure of our response. More than 900,000 Americans dead, the human toll of all the economic shutdowns, what we did to our children, John. I mean, think of what we did to our children. And the science didn't change. The polls changed.
We wasted 2 years of their lives.
Regardless where you are in masks, okay, the study showed they just unfortunately didn't work. But I'll tell you who all we should have known they never would have worked on is children. You know, have you ever seen a child wear a mask? I'm not being critical of children. They're just not going to do it the right way. There's no mask that was going to work on a child, and yet we delayed their speech. We prevented them from seeing their teacher's face and their friends' smiles. I mean, what we have done to our children is horrific, and we're going to be paying the price for that for many, many years to come, and there needs to be some accountability, and our federal health agencies need to come clean, be transparent, be honest, because they have not been transparent and honest through this pandemic. I'm going to do everything I can to get this information.
Thank you, Senator Ron Johnson. For those of you who like Ron Johnson, he has a Senate race this November, and it's ronjohnsonforsenate.com.